Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Today we celebrate the Lord's Supper, our monthly expression of gratitude. It's a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ look back to the cross to remember the ultimate sacrifice that the Lord accomplished on our behalf. The Lord was wounded for us. His body was broken for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says this: "The Lord Jesus Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we believers in Christ might die to the sovereignty of sin, and so that we might live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed." The Lord Jesus Christ's blood was shed for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7: "In the Lord Jesus Christ we have redemption through his blood." Redemption. We were redeemed. We were purchased from the slavery of spiritual death. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, every one, past, present, and future, according to the riches of his grace. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified for us, the worst death in human history. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" The Lord Jesus Christ's work at the cross is the only perfectly satisfactory payment for our sins. There is absolutely nothing that you could ever do to save yourself. There is nothing you could ever do to be impressive to a perfect God, other than the things that he has given to you that make you impressive in his sight. Christ is the only perfectly satisfactory payment, and there's a word for that: propitiation. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "My little children," that's John talking to believers in Christ, "I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin." That would be our first wish, that you do not sin. "And if anyone sins," first-class condition if in the Greek, if, and it's true. If anyone sins, and all believers do, "we have an advocate," someone who comes powerfully to our assistance, "with God the Father." And who is that? Jesus Christ, the only righteous one. Who comes to our assistance every time we sin? Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the Son of God the Father. And Jesus himself is the propitiation for our sins, the only perfectly satisfactory payment for our sins. His person and his work paid for us. And not for ours only as believers in Christ, but also he paid for the sins of the whole world, unbelievers as well. And so God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ love creatures unconditionally. And what does that mean? With no conditions. It means that you can't, under any circumstances, disappoint God because of the way he sees you. Now, you, when you think of yourself, think you're disappointing him. And if you like thinking that because you don't like mental serenity, then feel free. But when he looks at you, it's unconditional. And how do we know? See, you know, it's one thing to say that, but something has to demonstrate it. Show me. I'm from Missouri. Show me. Well, he did. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "God the Father demonstrates his unconditional love toward us," us as all mankind, "in that while we were sinners," what's a sinner? A sinner is an unbeliever. That is never a reference to a believer in Christ. It's an unbeliever. And what are the other terms that are used to refer to unbelievers? While we were ungodly, while we were unrighteous, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. See, there's the demonstration. He demonstrated his unconditional love for you when you were the worst in his eyes as unbelievers. That's amazing. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his person as a free gift to all mankind. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "The wages of sin is death." Sin has to be paid for, and the payment is death. Wrath, being at the wrong end of the wrath of God the Father. But the free gift of God the Father is the resurrection life, the Zoe life, the eternal life for all those in union with Christ Jesus our Lord. So knowing the Lord gives us a reminder of the past, a symbol of the present, and a promise of a magnificent future. What is the reminder of the past? Christ on the cross being crucified. What is the reminder of our present? What is the symbol of our present? No one's on the cross. He is risen. And what is the promise of the future? The promise of the future is that one day we'll live with him. We'll be absent from this body and face to face with the Lord in a place of no more sorrow, no more tears. The old things have passed away. The new things have come, a place exceeding and abundantly beyond anything we could ever ask or think. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we shed tears of gratitude. We feel tremendous joy as we remember the sacrifice the Lord keeps on making on our behalf. Welcome to the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And as God prepares our memories for reflection, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. The opening song is Lamb of God. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Fill our souls with gratitude as we meditate on all you did for us through your Son. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. The Lord's Supper celebration, the spiritual life progression in action. The spiritual life progression in action. When you look back to the cross, what do you see? Today, I see the spiritual life in action. I see what Jesus was offering us by going to the cross. And that is a spiritual life. Let's remind ourselves that at the moment of salvation, among the gifts God the Father gives us is a spiritual life, the resurrection life, the Zoe life. He gives us God the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to mentor us in the use of this spiritual life. And it is God the Holy Spirit who advances us to spiritual maturity. Make no mistake about it. You don't and you can't lead yourself or work yourself or advance yourself to spiritual maturity. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul scolded the Galatians for such a thought. He said, "Are you Galatians so foolish? Have you begun your salvation by the baptism of God the Holy Spirit through faith alone and the Lord Jesus Christ alone? And now you're being perfected in sanctification by the flesh, by your own works?" And isn't that the way it is sometimes, that we take the salvation from our Lord by believing in Christ, and then we say, "Okay, from now until I see you in heaven, I got this. I'm going to take care of it for now." And, you know, I think it takes getting older to realize how foolish that is. You know, the repetition of making promises to yourself and failing, and making promises to yourself and failing, and making promises to yourself and failing, and planning things, and they don't work out. And having relationships start off great and go south. And over and over and over again, we see this. Until we finally throw up our hands in desperation and say, you know, God, I'm convinced of one thing. I can't do it. Do it for me. And then you hear that noise, him rubbing his hands together. Say, just what I was waiting for, permission. Now get out of the way and watch this. Perish the thought that we could be perfected on our own. Those of us who think we're advancing ourselves to spiritual maturity have been duped by false teachers and have been turned into spiritual slaves who are victims of the law, victims of the right-wrong life. And we believers in this age are not under the law. We are under grace. And what changed everything? The cross. What is the spiritual life progression that Jesus Christ offered us through his cross? Well, there are five stages of spiritual progression. And by the way, this is an analogy I'm using and that I see. There are maybe seven. Somebody else may see seven. But there are five stages that I see very clearly. And you can see them in your mind's eye if you just stop to think about what you're looking for. And here's a reminder. It's design, death, destiny, dearth, and the divine. And within each of these stages, there is a death followed by a life. And so, in this Lord's Supper celebration, we continue to look at our spiritual life's progression. And I don't think you ought to think of this progression as serial, one thing after another, but things that God is doing for you. And to see this, we have to go into the Bible and see how this spiritual life played out. And we're going to do that today with a man with whom you are familiar, Abraham. And we're going to look at the time before he was a believer in Christ, when he was back when he was Abram. But first, a few announcements. So mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper after today is March 15th. That's the third week in March, because we won't be here on March 8th. There's no face-to-face teaching on March 8th, but the congregation is invited to view the recording of the services live on March 6th at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard. We'll also stream it live at that time. Otherwise, the lessons will be on the website for you at the regular time on March 8th. A reminder to check in on Facebook before church service. I should probably put that in the beginning, but I never think to do it. So one of these days I'm going to actually think to do that. But like us on Facebook. There are nearly 2,700 people that have signed up to be part of our online community. Get your friends to join us online today, because Facebook lesson recording begins next week, February 15th, from 12 to 1 p.m. We're going to do a series of 10-minute lessons that we'll post to Facebook and to YouTube that are designed to, at first, to say, hey, why don't you give God another chance? So that's what the series is going to be. Hey, why don't you give God another chance? And we know that there are a lot of people in the world, when they hear the word church, you know, they go back to the traumas of their childhood. I had to go to church when I was a child. And, you know, there are a lot of people who get stuck in that and never get out of it. Well, now that we're adults, we can make our own decisions about what we want to do and where we want to worship and how we want to worship, because we have freedom. And so maybe it's the time to look at your relationship with Christ a little differently and see what it is that God has really has in store for you. And I think that the verse that pops into my mind when I think about these 10-minute lessons is the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. So I hope to make these lessons fun and relevant and something that if you're having a bad day, you can go check in and pull a lesson and remember how much God loves you. And just to refresh your mentality for a moment before you go back into the battle. We're going to visit the vets next week, February 15th at 1:45. That usually lasts from 1:45 to 3. If you haven't done that before, I heartily recommend that you do it. It's a blast. And I just saw American Sniper this week, and I'm going to have a really interesting message for them based on my thoughts about watching that movie. June, you're going to prepare 3 songs that you want to sing and make room for 3 songs that they want you to sing. All right? So that's good. And you're going to remember that we're in a really small space. And you're not going to try to break anybody's eardrums, because I got a call from the vets last time and they had, you know, 3 guys had ear surgery based on the volume in your songs last time. So we're going to work on that, right? Isn't that right, Susie? Did you get the call, too? You didn't get the call? I guess they just go right to the top. I didn't get a call, but you know what I'm saying. Pianissimo. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. All right. All right. Oh, that's a good point, too. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. All right, so, you know, above pianissimo, but you know what to do. We had asked the pastor for the non-resident congregation last week. I got this out of sequence, actually. The teen lessons begin February 22nd from 11:30 to 1. You hear that sound? Can't wait to get my head around those teens. Your assignment is to read John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You will be quizzed right away, because we're going to learn via what method? What is it? Socratic, yeah. We're going to learn with all questions. So that should be a lot of fun. Ask the pastor for the non-resident congregation was last Monday night, and it was tremendous. And what made it so tremendous is people being vulnerable about challenges that are going on in their life right now. You know, problems with teens and problems with work and problems from the past. And it was just a tremendous time. It was too bad it had to end. The next deacons meeting is February 21st at 7:30 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. I'm sure that all of my deacons will get that in their calendars and make it a point to be there. That would be awesome. All right, so let's take the offering. This is the time when you get to make a sacrifice on behalf of all the people around the world that can't afford to pay to study the Word of God. Your generous contributions make it possible for them to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ free of charge by means of internet teaching or by means of face-to-face teaching. And let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians 9:7, that each one of you must do just as you've purposed in your heart and not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. Guests, this is not for you. Unless you just want to. This is for the people who are regular members here. So let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offering. How come you don't clap for Denny anymore? He's the Grim Reaper now.
Because I'm the tax collector. Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Brah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. And even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so that you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any materials from Brah Ministries so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. And even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. So we appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourself and for others. Please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. And I recently had a young son, and he's about 8 months old, for those of you that don't know William. And I was sitting there on Friday night when we got home, and both my wife and I are starving and really don't have much to eat. And I'm looking at my little guy sitting in his chair eating grilled chicken and pureed, peas. Grilled chicken and peas, followed by a puree of apples and mango and having milk while we're both starving. She didn't cook for us, she cooked for him. And it made me think of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able. You see, when I thought of that verse, it made me think, because he can't help himself. He's helpless and hopeless. He needs milk. He needs us to help fend for him. And that's how unbelievers are. They don't know that they need help. William doesn't know he needs help. He just asks for it. And a lot of unbelievers aren't going to ask for it. So when you're given that chance, and it seems like random chances all the time when you see people, but it's not random. God places people in front of you because he knows the knowledge you have in your soul. And that's a chance to give them milk. Don't go into epistemological rehabilitation or divine dinosphere with all these words that Colonel Thiem taught us that nobody knows what they mean. Just give them the pure, simple truth. Faith alone in Christ alone is salvation. It's that easy. And like Pastor said, it's just a yes lifestyle. And we just say yes to it and give them the chance. Just give them the little bit of a milk. And you think about it, you know, when a baby's hungry, he's hungry all the time. And we're giving him milk over and over and over again. When you have that chance to give somebody the gospel, don't just do it once. Keep reminding them. And they'll, you know, it's on God to do the work. That's what makes me so comfortable in giving the gospel, is it's in God's hands. Just like our salvation was, so was their salvation. And so was the gospel that they're giving them. It'll get to your son-in-law. It will. And you just have to have told him. It's there. It's going to happen to him. He's had the chance. And, you know, you may feel like it didn't work and that it's helpless and hopeless for him, but it's not. Because with God, anything's possible. So thank you very much, and say yes to the offering. Say yes to giving your time, your talent, and your treasure, because it definitely motivates me and it motivates my pastor. So thank you very much. You.
That was subtle. Mike did that. I just know it. Mike's not into messing around. It fades. He doesn't do fades. He just out. Go, Pastor. All right. So, the Lord's Supper celebration, the spiritual life progression in action. Before we get into that, I just want to say something about what Deacon Denny was saying in the offering. I just had a talk with my new family about finances. And one of the things that's really interesting is that in business, finances are a big part of it. There's revenue and there's expenses, right? And everybody acknowledges that. In families, which could never be mistaken for a business, there's a component that exists within a family that's very similar to a component that exists in business. There's inflow and outflow, right? So in churches, there is the same thing. There's inflow and outflow because churches have real expenses. But it's so funny. In business, everybody acknowledges that. But when you come over to the family, everybody starts freaking out about that. It's like, oh, no, it shouldn't be that way. No, it is that way. And then over at church, you know, everybody's been traumatized in churches. Like, tithe the tenth. Okay, well, that was the Old Testament. Right? That's not today. Today is 2 Corinthians 9:7. And so this trauma in families and in churches has people being really strange about money. But here's the simple thing. You didn't give yourself the money. God did. So do you trust him? If you take some of the money he gave you and he says, give it from the first fruits. Don't give it to me at the end. Don't make me an afterthought. Give me your first fruits. Give me that, and I'm going to put it all back. Do you trust him? And see, I know people in this congregation who are scared to death about money, that somehow God's not going to take care of you, when in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, he makes it perfectly clear that he takes care of sparrows and he thinks a lot more of you. So I want to recommend that we stop being so afraid about that and stop being so crazy about the money aspect of things. Because he takes care of us in all matters, all the time. And there's nothing for you to fear. Nothing. He will do it. Know what I mean? Could I get an amen? All right. The Lord's Supper celebration, the spiritual life progression in action. Today we'll look at all the stages of the spiritual life's progression as it relates to the life of Abram, who eventually became Abraham. Now, part one of the Lord's spiritual life progression is design. What does that mean? Design always demands a designer. So when you look around yourself and you see the world, somebody created all this, and if you look behind it, there was a designer for everything. And so God the Father has designed a perfect and personal plan for his imperfect creatures. And what that means is there never has been a time in all of divine history when God the Father didn't have you in his mind by name. And when he didn't think about you and exactly what he had planned for you by name. And so what is a plan? A plan is a set of decisions. And a billion years ago, or whenever God began, which in the beginning, no beginning, he's always existed. And in his always existence, he's always had a plan for you. And a plan is a set of decisions. And so he's always had a set of decisions about you personally, and it's really hard to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ made a set of decisions concerning you that are shaping your destiny. Design. God has a personal plan for your imperfect life. In Abram's life, God reveals the design he made for Abram in eternity past in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Here's what he said to him. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land I will show you. Abram was really close to his dad. As a matter of fact, for 99 years, he was a Muslim. He worshipped the moon god. At 99, he was sexually dead. He hung around his family for a really long time. I think around 75 or 76, he finally broke from that. But the Lord continuing to talk to him in Genesis 12, 2, he says, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. And I will make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. What did Abram do? He said, yes. Abram, the father of the Jewish race, hundreds of years before the Mosaic Law came into play, there was Abram and a series of five promises about a Jewish race. And so if you're ever wondering why 13 million people who everybody wants to wipe off the face of the earth are still here, it all started with promises a long, long time ago. Now, when we hear this about Abram, we say, man, he's lucky. He's lucky. I wish my life was that clear. It is. You see, it's hard to believe sometimes, but God has that same kind of personal design for each of our lives. It's not in the Bible. You know, we're not mentioned in the Bible by name. There's no Rory in here. That bums me out. But I know that I'm in there, as are you. Part two of the Lord's spiritual life progression is death. All of us are born in Adam, in union with Adam. In union with Adam, all are set to die the second death in the lake of fire. Therefore, all of us are spiritually dead at the moment of physical birth, and all of us are condemned to the lake of fire from the moment of physical birth, and we scream, no fair! I didn't even do anything wrong. That's correct. Before you even did anything wrong, you were destined to the lake of fire. In Adam, all are set to die the second death. But your human father, because your human father, Adam, the federal head of the human race, did do something, and you received the benefit, if it can be called a benefit, but no worries, because God preserves you until he lets you know who he is so you can have a chance to believe. We see this in Abram's life, Genesis chapter 14, beginning at verses 1 and 2. Now, Abram, he's an unbeliever at this time, and it came about in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goim. You know, my Israeli friends are holding their ears right now. They're saying, oh, God, you're horrible. Well, they made war with Bera, the king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemember, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar. And so a war broke out. Genesis chapter 14, verses 14 and 15. And when Abram heard that his relative Lot, a nephew, had been taken captive in the war, he led out his trained men, born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit as far as the location called Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. Now, this doesn't mean much to us, but a small force, he took a small force and kicked some butt against some really powerful kings. Genesis, he could have easily been killed. And from what I know of Lot, you know, it may not have been worth it to go after the guy, you know what I mean? We've all got that nephew. So Genesis chapter 4, verses 17 to 20 say this, then after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheveh, that is the king's valley, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. And now Melchizedek was a Levitical priest of God Most High, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Melchizedek blessed Abram and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. As an unbeliever, the Lord delivered the enemies of Abram into his hand. Why? Probably for the same reason he let Paul murder men, women, and children during the years when he was a Pharisee, leading up to the time when he'd be knocked off his high horse at Damascus. Probably for the same reason he allowed Peter, one of his favorite disciples, who swore he would never turn on Jesus, to betray him. And why Peter was the first guy that Jesus was looking for when he was resurrected from the dead. Because this is part of our journey. During that time, even of when we are in Adam and dead, God has a plan in mind for us because he knows what our will be in the matter of him, and he's looking out for us. So first, human beings must learn about and then accept their condemned fate from physical birth. Next, they must hear the gospel message, knowing that God the Holy Spirit convicts us. He makes us aware of the gospel message. A gospel message that makes it clear that there's a way out of spiritual death and condemnation. And then we must accept or reject a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as a provision from God the Father for conquering death. Jesus is the way out. The Lord Jesus Christ at the cross made the old man pass away. The Lord makes it clear, just as he did for Abram, who could have been killed trying to save Lot, that the Lord is Abram's way out. And so it is with us. The Lord is always our way out. The cross is always our way through. Now, after we enjoy the elements, you'll hear about one more stage in the progression of your spiritual life. You heard you have a destiny. There's a design for your life. And there is death involved, that period of time when you're in Adam. So after we enjoy the elements, we're going to hear about the destiny part of your journey. So in the Lord's Supper celebration, we enjoy elements, and following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember his work, which is the voluntary sacrifice that he made on the cross on our behalf, and we're grateful for what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is and keeps on being my body, which is being broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me. When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this, in the same way the Lord took the cup after the Passover supper, and representing which the cup which represented his death on the cross, and he said, this is a cup. This cup is a new testament that is forged with my blood. Keep on doing this celebration, and as often as you drink from this cup, do it for the purpose of remembering me. For as often as you drink, as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You proclaim the significance of the Lord's death until he comes. And so as you enjoy the bread and the cup, enjoy the memory of your Lord and Savior as well. And remember this, with God, it's personal. You're personal to him. You are not a concept to him. He actually knows your name. He actually knows everything that has gone on in your life up to this point. He actually knows everything that he's got planned for you from now on. And all of that is strictly for one thing, for your benefit. So the Lord's Supper song reminds us, always give thanks, for that is the will of God concerning you.
give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
Take a 5-minute break. Are we ready? Welcome back. So the Lord's Supper celebration, the spiritual life progression in action, we saw the first two steps. I just wanted to make a couple of prayer requests. So you may be wondering where my family is. So Alyssa and my daughter Alyssa and my wife Lila are out in Washington, D.C., touring around Washington, D.C. this morning and telling me all about it. Oh, we saw the Capitol. Oh, we saw the White House. Oh, yeah, I'm not there. Stop telling me this. And they went out on a recruiting trip. So she's being recruited by Washington Adventist University, which ought to be interesting. But it's a Division II school. And so if the tour this morning is any indication, Alyssa's really impressed with the area. So prayers, if you would, for her as she makes her decision about where she's going to play basketball. Also, Denny's stepmom on his dad's side, Cheryl Sullivan, lost her mom yesterday. And so we'd appreciate your prayers for the family and for her dad, Joe, as well, who lost his wife. So please send your prayers, go boldly before the throne of grace and send your prayers their way. So the Lord's Supper celebration, the spiritual life progression in action, part three of the Lord's spiritual life progression is destiny. Right, so it starts off with design. God has a design. We start off in a condition of death, spiritual death in Adam. And then God reveals to us through the gospel message that we have a destiny. Now, for those of us who have believed in Christ, the destiny can be summed up in two words, in Christ. We are in union with Christ. If you are a believer in Christ, here's Jesus Christ. Here's you. You're in union with Christ. So wherever Christ goes, you go. So where is Jesus Christ right now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. So where are you right now? Seated at the right hand of the Father, although it doesn't really look like it. We'll understand that one day. But as a believer in Christ, as someone who is in union with Christ, what we do know is that we're completely sufficient. Now, how many times during the day do you think of yourself as completely sufficient? How many times do you think about your life and say, you know, everything with my life is phenomenal. Everything, I can't believe how wonderful my life is because God has me right at this place. And when I'm experiencing whatever challenge that I'm experiencing, I have the absolute confidence that He wants me right in this place right now. How many times do we think that way? We think, oh, I'm not in the right place. I got to do something to get myself out of the situation. You don't. And so what was Abram going to do to get himself out of his situation? What was he going to do to restore his sexual potency? What was he going to do to make a barren wife able to bear children? What was he going to do to start worshiping, to erase the fact that he had worshiped the moon god for 99 years? What exactly was he going to be able to do? He was helpless, but God is not. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 6 say this. So after these things, and that is the war with the kings, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. And remember, this is the Old Testament that's being referenced here. So in the Old Testament times, in the age of Israel, God talked to people in visions, in theophanies, in dreams. You remember he talked to Joseph in a dream. Hey, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. So he's talking to Abram in a vision. Today, he only talks to us through his word. So if you think that God talked to you, you probably need prescription medication. So after these things, the war with the kings, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, don't fear, Abram. I am a shield to you, and your reward shall be very great. He already told him in chapter 12 that he had a destiny. But now he's reinforcing it, Genesis 15:2. Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me, since I am childless and the heir of my household is Eliezer of Damascus?" Right at that time, you could, if you didn't have a kid, you could select another person, an adult, who you thought was worthy as your heir. Genesis 15:3, and Abram said, "Since you have given me no offspring," you've given no offspring to me, he's getting kind of indignant. "You've been promising me all this stuff, but I haven't seen the goods. Where's my kid?" And Abram said, "Since you have given me no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." This other guy, the adult heir. Genesis 15:4, "Then behold, the word of the Lord came to Abram, saying, 'This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir.'" What do you think Abram was thinking then? He's 99 years old. He said, "Oh, yeah, right." You see, isn't that kind of the way it is with our lives, too? Aren't we always thinking somehow that God's not going to work it out for us? Aren't we always thinking when we're in the midst of a gigantic confusion? Aren't we really thinking that we got to work it out? And aren't we really thinking that God's not really on duty for us? That somehow you blanked out about who we are and our name is no longer in his mind, and now that we're on our own? Because that's exactly what the kingdom of death wants you to think. But it's not true. But here we see evidence of even the greats of the Bible having that very thought. And God correcting it. Genesis 15:5. "And the Lord took Abram outside and said, 'Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you can.' And the Lord said to Abram, 'So shall your descendants be.'" Your descendants will be that numerous. "Then Abram believed in the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to Abraham as righteousness." Who is the Lord? Jesus Christ hadn't come to earth yet. Who is the Lord? See, when we say the Lord Jesus Christ, what we're saying is the Lord, God the Son, in this case, Jehovah Elohim. And when we say the Lord Jesus Christ, we're talking about God the Son taking on true humanity, Jesus Christ. Understand that the Lord Jesus Christ existed long before Jesus Christ came to the earth. There never has been a time when the Lord Jesus Christ didn't exist. That's who Abram believed in. And it was credited to his account. Reckoned means credited to his account as absolute righteousness, the admission ticket to heaven. And so it is with each of us. The Lord gave us a spiritual life at the moment of salvation. And the details of this spiritual life are being revealed to us day by day, little by little, almost in a water torture. See, your spiritual life was created in eternity past, and it has a design which God has revealed to us. Do you know what it is? Do you know who you are and what your purpose is in life? Do you know that the grayer your hair is, the more sure that your purpose is going to come clear to you very soon? And then there's a death. You were in Adam. There was a point where you were lost. And when you were lost, the shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, did something that shepherds never do. He left the 99 in the pasture and went looking for you. Make no mistake about it. You didn't look for God. He looked for you. And then he gave you a destiny. He offered you a destiny in Christ. And so when you believed in Christ, you were placed into union with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and were given a whole host of privileges that would boggle your mind if you ever stopped to think about them. Saint, holy, blameless, righteous, in union with Christ, justified, redeemed, reconciled, expiated. And then, right after you thought you were somebody because you were saved, dearth, he made you aware of your lack. He placed you in the desert. He gave you a desert experience. And that's what your life is, a desert experience. You try to do things and they don't work out for you and you can't figure out why. You're getting educated about who you really are. And until you know who you really are, you can't be free. And then in the future, an eternal reward, the divine. You're going to be, as a believer in Christ, you're going to be one of the people who reigns with Christ for 1,000 years during his millennial reign on this earth. You're going to be residents of the new Jerusalem, which will be hovering above the earth. You're going to be in a resurrection body that is recognizable to family and friends. And you're going to have a life beyond your wildest dreams. You're never going to die. The only thing that will die is this physical body, and you will be happy when this physical body with its crucified old man goes into the ground. And in that time, you'll be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord forever. So in this Lord's Supper celebration, we've looked at three of the stages of Abram's spiritual life progression, that there was a design for him and a death was obvious and he has a destiny. And we'll continue to look at this not only for him, but for other biblical characters, so that you have examples that you can see. And what I want you to start realizing is that while we look at the biblical examples of biblical characters, that their things are nothing compared to what God has in store for you. See, Moses, as he was getting to know the Lord, always knew that he was doing something that was going to be really powerful in the future. And every time he came up against the wall of that knowledge, he would ask the Lord, "Hey, it seems like there's something around the other side of that wall. What is it?" And the Lord would always tell him, "Don't worry about it. You know what was on the other side of that wall? You." Moses would die to be you. He would die to not be a person who was under the law, but who was in the sphere of grace. You are so special to God. Royal priests. And it's so easy to forget that when we get bogged down in our daily things and the nest closes in and blots out the sky. You got to pick your head up. You got to pick your head up. I don't care what your situation is right now. Hey, Zeus, I'm talking to you. You back there? I'm talking to you. Your situation's tough right now, right? God's got an amazing plan for you. The fact that you are spending your will to come here every week when you don't have to, you could be sleeping in, right? And you're spending your will to come here every week, you're going to find out what the magnificent thing is that God has planned for you. I appreciate you, and I appreciate it that you're here. And every one of you here, God's got something really special for you, and you ain't seen nothing yet. And the grayer your hair is, the more likely it is that you're closer to that thing, because God always saves the best for last. And I don't want you to forget that when you walk back out into that fray this week. I don't want you to forget how special you are to God. Because it's so easy to forget that. So when we look at these characters in the Bible, we think, "Oh, Abram, man, that guy is lucky, man. He has a whole race of people coming after him. He's lucky, man. He is nothing compared to you, church age believers. Nothing." Don't forget that. So we'll continue this look at this and other biblical examples so that we can see that this wonderful thing not only happens in the life of people in the Bible, but also happens in your life. And what I'm wondering is this. Do you recognize what God is doing with you? Is it coincidence that you're here, Jesus? I don't think so. By the way, could you imagine a guy named Jesus in the lake of fire? Right? Like, everybody would be laughing at you, man. They're like, how did you get down here? You're named after the guy. Right? That would be horrible. Amen? That would be horrible. So, open your eyes. Open the eyes of your heart and look for the spiritual progression that God is working out in your life. Well, the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ are guarantees, and here are some of his promises. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Jesus said to doubting Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. I'm the way to salvation. I'm the truth through the word of God. I am the Zoe life, the eternal life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. He who believes in the Son has the resurrection life, the Zoe life. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the Zoe life. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. You do not want to make the decision to take on the wrath of God. You want to take advantage of what Jesus Christ did by taking on that wrath so that it'll never touch you. That's the decision you're making when you believe in Christ. Closing song. There's just one hope, and that ain't no joke.
The world's confusing. There's chaos everywhere, full of deception. Darkness and great despair, but you can be freed from its power, there's no doubt. God's word reveals the one and only way out. There's just one hope, just one faith, just one baptism, one Lord, one way to get to heaven, one hope, just one faith, one soul, great salvation, the Father's way to get to heaven, it's Jesus, God the Son, Jesus, he is the way, the only way. Christ paid for all sins with death on the cross, was resurrected, so no one need be lost. His work is finished. There's nothing you need to except believing in what he's done for you. There's just one hope, just one faith, just one baptism, one Lord, one way to get to heaven, one hope. There's just one faith, one soul, great salvation, the Father's way to get to heaven, it's Jesus, the Father's Son, Jesus, he is the way, the only way. The truth and the light is Jesus, the Father. Christ is a way.
Is that one of your songs, June?
Yep.
That's bomb. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, that you have given us a spiritual life. We're grateful that you're in charge of the spiritual progression that is perfecting us. And we just pray that you continue to use us to send this message of salvation to the people in our periphery and to send the message of sanctification to the people in our periphery, so that we can minister to unbelievers for salvation and we can minister to believers for sanctification, so they can know the power of the freedom that you have given us. And we pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of you. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.